You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
We've had a long discussion already, and so far I have gotten nothing, absolutely nothing, but we have developed a friendship. I can see that. And I think long term, we're going to have a very, very great relationship, and I look very much forward to it.
And that was President Trump discussing or commenting to the press about his meetings so far with President Xi of China. Now joining us to discuss that is Michael Auslan. He is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and expert on Asia and the author of a new book called The End of the Asian Century, War, Stagnation, and the Risks to the World's Most Dynamic Region. Michael, thank you for joining us on Mornings on the Mall. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we know that we had the missile strikes last night in Syria. Do you believe that President Trump and President Xi discussed this before those strikes happened? Do you think President Xi knew about this?
It's a great question. And the truth is we have no idea. This is a president who likes to keep his play his cards very close to his vest. I don't think there's any other time that I can remember a U.S. president undertaking pretty significant military action while he was engaged in the midst of negotiations with another foreign leader, especially one who is, a potential more adversarial relationship. I mean, this sent messages, obviously not just to Assad and Russia, but to China and North Korea as well.
You know, one thing that you got to wonder is about North Korea. I mean, if you're President Xi and you know that the president wants you to, President Trump wants you to go in there and try to take care of North Korea and get them under control, and you have just witnessed that he's not unwilling to use military force when he needs to, that does send a message, doesn't it?
Absolutely. This is a president that, I was among many who wrote that his inexperience and rushing into this meeting with Xi might be a bad idea, that, you know, the Chinese were going to come with a whole list of things that they certainly wanted to try to pressure the United States into, and we had no idea really what the Trump administration wanted to do with its China policy. Now we see that, this is an administration that can turn on a dime and can take significant action that the Obama administration, for example, never did. That is not going to be a message that's lost on the Chinese when Trump turns to them, as he undoubtedly did, and said, we need you to take more responsibility for dealing with North Korea.
Do you think we have any leverage in that matter?
Well, I think the leverage is the perception that this administration will actually do things. It's not just going to be talk, which is, again, something that many observers and analysts were worried about, that Trump would say one thing one day and something the next day. Now, showing that he's willing to use force very quickly and pretty decisively, at least initially, when he turns to the Chinese and tells them, you've got to get control of your companies that are abetting the North Korean regime, or we're going to sanction them or cut them off from the global financial market, he's probably going to be believed. So I think the leverage comes from his actions.
Mm-hmm. Could we be seeing a new coalition to defeat ISIS? It is obviously in China's best interest to defeat ISIS. Turkey supported the strikes. There are a lot of people in that region, a lot of neighboring countries, who it is in their best interest to see ISIS defeated. Are we going to see former foes maybe getting into bed together with that common goal?
Well, the problem is, of course, once you start moving in terms of changing that power balance in the region, probably the biggest question on everyone's minds is will there be more targeting against Bashar Assad that could potentially tip the balance of power against him? And if so, who moves into that vacuum? then you do have the question of ISIS. We don't want ISIS to take over. So who is going to be fighting against ISIS? Interestingly, the Chinese, for a number of years, have been trying to get us to support their own actions against separatist Muslim rebels, Islamist rebels, and what they call terrorists out in their far west. Mm-hmm. We've hesitated from that because we see them rightly as not part of a global terrorist network, but rather as a people in China, the Uyghurs, that want to get out from under Beijing's thumb. So once you start getting into this question of building a new coalition, especially with potentially different partners, ones that may be more powerful, like China, you really have to have a strategy. You just can't get into it. The question, mm-hmm. I think, still for the administration, though, is what is the strategy going to be? And it's going to be harder regardless of what we do, because this has really ruptured U.S.-Russian relations. The Russian response was extremely strong and negative and swift, and they've already suspended the air cooperation with the United States. So now you've got to think, what are the spillover effects from doing this?
Very quickly, we hear a lot of talk about trade. We hear a lot of talk about dealing with the North Koreans. I'm not hearing a great deal of conversation about bringing some pressure to bear on the Chinese for their adventurism in the South China Sea.
Well, yeah, you know, that interestingly, that's really, Brian, one of the major issues that we've been waiting to find out what the new administration would do versus what the Obama administration talked about. You know, is it a question of just doing more freedom of navigation operations or getting some type of coalition together to have a more regular presence? That's really one of the things we thought that this meeting would start moving us towards. You know, the president would be talking to the Chinese about what they're doing and then coming up with a response. All of that's been sidelined right now about Syria. So the Chinese, normally you would say, look, the Americans are distracted, you can move more forward. Given what they just saw the U.S. do, they may not be willing to do that. So no, I think for now, Trump really has given himself some leeway, maneuvering room in the upper hand. You're still going to have to figure out what you want to do with this, though.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Michael Auslan, thank you so much.